from your home for shamelessly plugging the new album Bank on Me from Jay Hoffman, semi-live from a studio. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Eric. Can I get a signed copy of that?
You can. I've got it in the car.
You know somebody?
I got it. Yeah. He stopped by on his way back from the dentist, and I got myself a signed copy.
Jealous.
Of Bank on Me from Jay Hoffman. Yeah.
Is that like 12th album or what?
Third. It's his third album, third release. His first since like 12, you know, like 15 years. Yeah, my dad's name's Jay.
Really?
He's a WDRT personality. He's got a show that airs on Wednesday night.
Plays all over the place.
He
too.
Plays everywhere. He's down in Grove playing tonight.
Like him and Joe Cody. Everybody knows him.
Yep. Yeah. You've probably, and the on this album that came out. Oh, might be today, tomorrow. It's coming. I had it in my hand. There's a whole bunch of people that are WDRT personalities.
Nice.
They play here. You've got Schaefer's and Guthrie's and Harris's.
Yeah.
All over this album. It's super cool. Wrote a couple songs. I know the songs. He's wrote some about people I know, including
you,
me and my brother and kids. And it was really cool to have him share that with us and have my kids listen to their grandpa.
Well, I want an autographed copy. That's all I need.
I'll have him
on vinyl.
He would be. He has said he'll come in. He could be. You know, he's done this radio thing. He doesn't know sports at all, but he would be more than willing to come down and hang out, man. He's good. He's a good dude. So Okay. Everybody go out and listen to that and pat him on the back when you see him, because you'll see him around the neighborhood.
I'm sure he's listening right now. Because no, he will be.
He will absolutely be listening.
Friday.
Yeah, no, 100%. He was.
Because we're not live. This is
semi live from a studio. We're recording on a Wednesday afternoon. Because that's what we got time for.
Fantastic.
But yeah, that was my shameless plug. It was cool to see.
It's a good plug.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We could also
sports?
Talk about sports. Yeah.
How do you want to talk about first? You Green Bay Packers? Let's get that out of the way.
Okay, make it nice. Make it, okay, let's talk about.
There's nothing nice about it.
There was some news earlier today that Packers star back Josh Jacobs was arrested for domestic violence, super not...
Domestic abuse charges,
really
yes.
Rough to hear.
Spent a night in jail.
Spent a night in jail, was released. It's...
Not good.
It's an awful thing to do, to put yourself in a position to do these things.
His attorneys said, we remain confident that once all the evidence is gathered and evaluated, it'll confirm that no charges should be brought against Josh in the future.
I mean, maybe, but four misdemeanors and a felony tells me something happened. Something had to have happened. We'll just stick to the strictly sports side of it, okay?
So who's the backup?
We don't know. You've got Marshawn Lloyd, who has played in one out of 36 regular season games that he's been healthy for.
Not good.
That is very not good. You've got Chris Brooks was a
wasn't he like
restricted free agent? He was your third back last year. They've drafted in like the sixth and seventh rounds. They don't have anybody as a backup. It was a problem last year when they would bring somebody in.
On a lot of the depth charts on various websites, they got Chris Brooks is number two behind Josh Jacobs.
Well, it's because, like
Marshawn
I said, Marshawn Lloyd is just a name. He's
Pierre
never
Strong
played.
Jr.
Yep, again, rando.
And number five is Damian Martinez.
More than likely what happens, because OTAs, the off-season, what does OTA stand for? Something off-season team activities, right?
Sure.
Give or take. Started today. There was a pretty long list of players who weren't on the field. All of them, except for Josh Jacobs, were all injury-related, off-season rehab. They had a surgery. They had a thing. But, yeah, no, their number two running back, you could have called that a point of need going into the off-season, and they did not address it. This was before, of course, any of this happens. There's a much, much better chance that the Packers end up getting a veteran of name recognition as their number two back. A guy like Nick Chubb, who was played for the Browns last year, is only 30 years old. He still doesn't have a team to play for. So he wasn't real explosive, never has been real explosive, but he's a guy.
Sure. A body.
He's a body who has had success in the NFL before. You could go with, there's other guys that are backup. Tony Pollard from the Titans is a guy in the last year of his contract. You could pick him up and maybe slot him in somewhere. Nope, you're basically...
Trade for Aaron Jones?
Trade for somebody from the Cardinals. Matt LaFleur's brother, Mike LaFleur, is the head coach of the Cardinals. Would tell me that maybe you've
James
got...
James
Conner is... Or Trey Benson, who's often hurt.
Sure.
But James Conner is another one of those running backs on the wrong side of 30, last year of his contract.
Sure. You'd
probably get him for like a sixth-round pick.
Yeah.
And you roll with that, I guess.
It's one of those tough situations, especially right now with OTAs, and you kind of go, okay, when can we expect charges or anything happening?
Yes.
Because all of a sudden you're going to have that. Well, and realistically, by the time you have court dates and everything, it'll probably be December anyway.
It's an unfortunate thing to say.
Unless the NFL says otherwise.
Well, it's an unfortunate thing to say that there's a decent chance this guy doesn't serve any jail time for this. There's a pretty strong track record over the course of time of rich men being able to get away with crimes, whether they're in sports or not. So I don't think he sits in jail. But the NFL also, on the flip side of that, has every recourse, reason, and ability to suspend this guy.
They can do it without any charges.
Regardless of charges, regardless of whatever things might happen to him in the legal system.
Right.
No, because this is...
It's pretty serious.
It's an ugly mark on the NFL.
Especially
for
Green Bay.
Exactly. Yep. No, really? Green Bay has done a pretty decent job over the last 20 years, better than a lot of teams in the neighborhood.
Don't do it.
Better than a lot of teams in the neighborhood of not having their players get in trouble for things like this while they were. I can think of a couple incidences of Packer players getting in trouble. And we're not going to name any of the Vikings things, so we're not going to think too hard about the Packers things either that happened. But
right.
So, yeah, no, what you're hoping for is that this didn't happen. Honestly, you'd like to just not. But as an NFL fan, you sort of just say, I guess that happens to our team too. Because it happened. There's been players on the Vikings suspended for off-the-field incidents. There's been players on the Bears. There's been players for the Cowboys.
But felony, abuse?
I mean, it's terrible. It's an awful, awful thing.
I mean, ours was just drunk driving.
I mean, the
could have killed somebody, but...
Yes, yeah. Like I said, it's not a good look for... Right. When this happens to a professional
especially
athlete...
Especially in Green Bay, because they're pretty... They normally are pretty clean, and
Green Bay is a pretty small town compared to where most of these places are happening. These occurrences are not a regular.
Bet you didn't happen in Green Bay.
I guess I didn't read.
Maybe it was. It was in Wisconsin.
Yeah, they're in the. I don't know where they live in the off season. I don't know much about that stuff. But man, that's a.
Wonder if it's on the website.
I'm sure if we looked a little harder, we could probably find.
Look
there will be there by the time this. Yeah, you will hear a lot about this in the next week or two. Unfortunately, as Packer fans, this is going to get covered all over the place.
Okay. Anything else football related?
I mean, like I said, OTAs have started.
Yep.
So it's for your team. Let's say you're a Vikings fan.
Yes.
I saw a video.
Yes.
And you saw this video, too.
I haven't seen a lot of videos
yet. Okay. So they're at the OTAs. Quarterback battle in Minnesota.
Yep.
Your quarterback one coming in the first day of OTAs was J.J. McCarthy.
Yep.
Kyler Murray taking the number two snaps.
Yes.
You don't read in any of that, right?
It's like OTAs.
They're going to go back and forth. They're going to flop this around. Same thing in Cleveland. Same thing with anywhere.
On a side note, there was a report that Kyler and JJ are not getting along too great. Like, Kyler made a joke. I think Kyler at this point is thinking, assuming he's going to be the starter week one.
Sure.
So he cracked a joke, and I don't think I can't remember what the joke was, but it was something that if it was me and JJ, I would have taken offense to it.
Sure.
Got a little heated. They needed to be separated. That was the report.
I mean,
great.
That report feels right. You know why?
I mean, but it should. It should feel that intense because these are two livelihoods of two men.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you this. I don't know J.J. McCarthy super well, but anybody who gives himself a nickname and tries to act all tough, like he's a big, tough dude.
Oh, you're criticizing the big or short?
I'm saying, like, anybody who comes off and I feel like they're thin-skinned.
Yeah.
I feel like there's... And, yeah, J.J. McCarthy has been the dude since high school, since college, since the NFL.
Yep.
And since he's entered the NFL, he has not been the dude. He has run through now getting beat out in a quarterback competition, being injured, being rehabbed, and now being replaced or being thought of as replaceable.
Right.
So this is that kind of put up or shut up for a spot like J.J. McCarthy.
Him taking first-team reps?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who's the first team? I mean, it's probably...
Correct. No, you're right. You know? It's just the first... team out there that the reporters saw.
If it was me as a coach going, JJ, have you improved in the offseason?
Sure.
Let me see what you got.
And you'd also like to assume by year three, third year for J.J. McCarthy,
he's
been staring at that playbook now for 3 years.
Sure.
He should have an incredibly good grasp on the playbook in practices.
So, once again, I think it's, hey, J.J., here he is. Right now, this is your team today.
Because financially, it still makes a lot of sense for Minnesota to have J.J. McCarthy as your starting quarterback.
Now.
He's a quarterback, a first-round quarterback on a rookie deal. There isn't a more valuable lottery ticket in the NFL.
Other than Kyler and a 1.9.
For success, right? Like, most of the time, veteran minimum quarterbacks don't mean you're going to win games. But a first-round quarterback on a rookie deal is cheap enough where you can put talent around him. So no concerns.
Not
no,
yet.
It's early enough for a lot of injuries. I'm guessing Minnesota's injury list looked similar to the Packers, where there was, you know, out of the 90 people who are on these rosters, giant roster, there was 23 of them not in the Packers OTAs, and most all of them, like I said, off-season surgery, you know, rehabbing an injury from college still. There's guys who are a year and a half of getting hurt in college that got drafted, guys like Colin Oliver and stuff for the Packers, who are still not appearing in games.
Right. No, I'm not concerned yet. I mean, concern will be... It's not concern either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now, at this point, as a Vikings fan, I just want a decent quarterback to play. So if it's JJ or Kyler... I mean, Kyler, if he... And I think it's going to be Kyler. I think Kyler's talented.
I think so.
Athletically, I think he's a little more... he's more versatile than just a pocket passer like JJ.
I mean, I spent the last 5 years watching the Arizona Cardinals and watching Kyler Murray and thinking to myself, man, I wish he was with a good franchise.
Right.
You watched him and you could just tell that there was no good development.
Right.
You could tell that the training staff wasn't doing their job, that the film study wasn't good with the Cardinals, that the infrastructure and the offensive line coach and
all around the team just not good.
It was just hard to watch. And so you'd watch him kind of flash and look great and outrun everybody and then not have a wide receiver to throw it to.
Sure.
Or outrun everybody.
He has three now.
And now he's got real wide receivers and a real coach, too.
Right.
Like, that schemes to... Kevin O'Connell has found success with such a weird variety of quarterbacks, right? Like...
Astronaut.
Josh Dobbs found success. Kurt Cousins found success. Sam Darnold found success. Yeah. Basically, everybody that he's...
JJ so far.
So far. You know,
I'm hopeful, and I mean the worst case scenario would be that not the worst case, but it could be, is Kyler just is superb. He does a Sam Darnold this year.
Sure,
but then at the end of the year, what do you do?
I mean,
you give him the big contract.
You absolutely do. If you're Minnesota,
you find your core quarterback and it works.
Yeah, you do.
Take him for 3 years.
The lesson that you. If you have learned nothing as a Vikings fan, is appreciate the quarterback you have, right?
Right.
Like, I bet you if you looked at it and thought all the way through, you'd almost rather have had Kirk Cousins this entire time, right? Like, you had Darnold, and he was fantastic, and he got you guys really far in the playoffs. But then that gave way to nothing, right? Like, a year of nothing.
And the adage, I hate admitting this, but Green Bay wrote the book on quarterbacks.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know?
100%.
Let's say Kyler is just great.
Mm-hmm.
It gets us to the playoffs and go decently into there. Realistic expectations there.
The Vikings fan. You couldn't even say the word to a Super Bowl as a Vikings fan. I love it.
If he does, they're going to give him a count. I mean, he takes us to the Super
Bowl. I mean, if Kyler Murray gets the Vikings to the Super Bowl, they will build a statue, a very tiny statue of Kyler Murray. You'll trip over
But money-wise, they would give him a two-year contract and hope that JJ still develops and keep him.
Sure. But
I mean, that'd be
in a perfect world, but I haven't seen that type of quarterback development hasn't happened since Jordan Love. But even then, like, Patrick Mahomes got a year.
Yeah.
Barely a year. It hasn't happened in a long time where that draft and develop strategy. I would have liked to have seen what would have happened to an Anthony Richardson if they would have kept him for 3 years on the bench and then broke him out one day. You know, Lamar Jackson sat for an entire year. It's hard.
Who do you sit behind?
He sent me. Oh, I'll look it up.
Tyler Huntley?
No. It was. Wasn't Flacco.
Yeah.
It might have been Flacco for a year. But yeah, because they won the Super Bowl. Yeah. So it doesn't happen very frequently that a quarterback is allowed to stay on a team for 4 years. Baker Mayfield was on his fifth team by his fifth year in the league, and he finally found success. With a good structure around him. Yeah,
considering Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield were on the same team at one point.
Right. Yeah. Carolina. No. Yeah. No, and Carolina, same thing. They haven't put a good infrastructure around. It doesn't really seem to matter who the quarterback is until you get all those things right. The NFL,
One thing for the NFL.
Just one.
This popped up in my timeline was the worst 2026 free agent signings so far.
Oh, sure.
I got a list of some guys.
So these are guys that haven't even... These are just guys who signed this offseason?
Yes.
They haven't played yet?
Not yet, correct.
Okay. What are some ugly contracts so far?
Daniel Jones. $88 million for 2 years.
Again, I don't mind a two-year deal in the NFL. It doesn't matter if you overpay him.
Torn Achilles.
Because this year... You can still draft a quarterback on a two-year deal, right?
Like, we still got Anthony Richardson.
And probably not for long.
No.
So, no, I don't mind paying a quarterback too much money because, you know, what else are you going to do?
Jalen Phillips, edge, signed by Carolina for $120 over 4 years.
That one's weird. Jalen Phillips was a player for the Dolphins who was first-round pick who was always hurt.
Yes.
And you are really banking on either your training staff or you just have the cap room and you need to put somebody out there because a lot of these teams are paying, and I'll call it an idiot tax.
Right.
If you are a badly run organization like the Raiders, like the Panthers, like the Browns, like the Cardinals, you have to pay an extra couple million dollars a year to convince these good players to come and play for you because they're pretty sure their seasons are going to go terrible at some point.
Tyler Lindebaum, center, went to the Las Vegas Raiders. $81 million over 3 years.
He was paid, I think it was about $10 million more a year than any other center in the league.
It said here it shattered the market by 50%.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he's twice as paid.
He's the highest paid interior lineman right now.
Granted, a lot of these deals look really bad today. But this guy is a like multiple-time Pro Bowler in his young 20s.
That, no.
28, 20 somewhere?
29.
Not 30 yet. So he's on the correct side of 30.
Yeah.
You're going to get 5 years of Pro Bowl caliber. And again, when you're the Raiders, you need anybody
good. It's a great move because you have a rookie quarterback coming in and Kirk Cousins.
And you also probably know if you're this Tyler Lindebaum, you're not going to get a lot of credit as a Pro Bowler this year.
No.
You know, like your quarterbacks between Kirk Cousins and Fernando Mendoza,
that ain't bad.
I mean, how do you know? Kirk Cousins hasn't been good since
Achilles.
Since they won a playoff game. Since the Vikings won a playoff game, give or take. And, same thing. With Raiders, our rookie quarterback in. So you're not really sure.
The other one that pops out here on this list is Alec Pierce, wide receiver. Once again, signed by the Colts for $114 million. For 4 years, 84 of it guaranteed.
Fun fact:
he doesn't have stats.
He had the highest per game catch average in the league this year. He averaged nearly 20 yards a reception. Of course, he caught about four balls a game because they were being thrown to him by a combination of Phillip Rivers, Daniel Jones, and not Anthony Richardson. Riley Leonard got some starts for the Cardinals this year. He put up incredible numbers in a per-catch basis. But, yeah, he had, like, 50 catches this year for almost 1,000. Yeah. It's a fun coincidence.
Huh.
I will. Two of those contracts are from the Indianapolis Colts.
Yes.
Do you know who the current GM is of the Indianapolis Colts?
The one that's going to go be the AD for the Wisconsin Badgers?
Absolutely, 100%. Let's go full circle on that one. This guy, Chris Ballard, is either sticking his former employees one last time on his way out the door, or he's really not good at his job.
Yeah, either way, you find out.
Either way, he's going to be the guy who runs the Wisconsin Badgers as they're essentially GM of sports for either him or Michael Finley. And at this point, I'd rather take Michael Finley. Give me the wild card.
Not Mark Trosher. Trosher.
I'll take anybody. The GM of us of the give me a good face. Give me a face on these things. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
No, that's about it.
Baseball.
Baseball. Oh, the Brewers are just kicking butt. Man, they are.
Mizorowski's really like.
Yeah. Yep. Anybody who's not even a real big old sports fan And Jacob Mizorowski is a name worth repeating, so you say it right. It's a name worth remembering because he's going to be an...
Are you impressed to say it?
10,000%. Yes. Actually, I am. Yeah, I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, popped up on my timeline.
Bang. Yeah, no, Jacob Mizorowski has thrown all of the fastest pitches in the league this year. He's thrown 300 pitches over 100 miles an hour. The next closest is Mason Miller, a closer for the Padres, who's thrown like 118 of them. Jacob Mizorowski is going to hit 105 miles an hour, which will be at some point this year.
He's averaging like 7 innings, isn't he?
He finally, we had talked about this. Yeah. I said like he wasn't going over 7. Well, he heard me. And he showed up yesterday, 2 days ago, pitched 7, struck out 12. It was against the Cardinals. It felt fantastic.
Well, that helped.
Yeah, the Brewers are nicely 3.5 games.
Yep. Out, 4.5 now.
4.5 now because they won today. That's right. They won. They won on an error against the Cardinals. And as much as I dislike the Cubs, and I loved watching them lose 8 games in a row.
Oh, yeah. 10 games.
10 games in a row at this point. The team I like the least in all of baseball Cardinals. And maybe is the Cardinals.
Nobody likes the Cardinals anymore.
I mean, we could do a long show about why the Cardinals should be no one's favorite team. But
Guardians are at number top of the Central.
But it's fun to number watch on these Brewers.
Yeah.
They are, I mean, the lower half of their lineup is awfully bad. Not completing baseball tasks correctly. Yelich is back. Yelich hit a home run the other day.
Oh, nice.
The top half of that lineup looks like an all-star team. Legitimately does. You could make a case for Churio and Bryce Terang and Willem Contreras. All three of them should be all-stars this year. Last year, I think they only had one all-star position player, and I think it was Bryce Terang.
Sure.
But this year, those three are just fantastic to watch. Jake Bowers, again, he hit another home run. He's on pace to hit 25 home runs, nearly 100 RBIs. The top half looks so good.
Yeah.
The bottom half of that lineup looks like me and you are taking swings. It's rough. I will name them. Luis Rengrifo.
Who?
Hopefully soon, yeah. He's hitting 200. And he plays every day. Zero steals, zero home runs. Does not play A-plus defense to make up for his F-minus, but he's a filler who has started nearly every day. It's an oddity for a team who's in first place, is on pace to nearly beat their win total from last year, which was a franchise record, and to feature guys regularly starting. Blake Perkins gets regular ABs, and he's hitting .095. Like, he's got 3 hits this year, and they just keep showing it. He just keeps getting on. Who else? David Hamilton was leading the league in bunts. But, I mean, he's hitting like 2-4. He's okay, but zero power. Not, he's getting a few steals, but zero. Like, zero home runs, not doing anything special as a third baseman. The one I want is Joey Ortiz. Joey Ortiz, last year, was the third to worst hitter in all of Major League Baseball. He was a Gold Glove caliber shortstop, though. And when you watch him in a game, he makes incredible plays in the field. Like, he's just... has a great arm, is always in the right spot, real athletic, does not translate to hitting at all.
Okay.
He's going to always hit 200, it feels like, but he keeps getting regular ABs because,
I mean, it's working. I mean...
it is working, but it's down in AAA, and they'll be eventually... the guys that they have in AAA, the Brewers have stockpiled not only one of the best records in Major League Baseball over the last few years... but their minor league roster is filled with guys who will one day be major league contributing players. And the future could be any time. Luis Lara is a outfielder who's won the Gold Glove in minor leagues last year.
Okay.
You could call him up anytime. Give him anybody. That'd be fine. Even if he struggles, these other guys are struggling anyway. They've got Jet Williams and Cooper Pratt and Jesus Maid down in the minors, who are all top 50 prospects in all of baseball. Anytime. I would accept, and I know I don't get to vote on it, but I would accept any amount of defensive loss to see somebody hit 250 at the bottom of that lineup. That's a team that can win they're currently in a spot where they should get to the Dodgers. Right? They are that team that should get to the Dodgers, right? Like they...
okay.
They've got the record to do it. They played them pretty well over the weekend, lost 2 out of 3, but most of them were close. But like I said, when your aim is to now try to win a chip, like let's put one.
You got a taste of it last year.
It was so close. Like that's how teams should
it
work,
close.
Right? Like you should struggle in the playoffs. And then you get a little better, and then you beat that team in the playoffs, and then next year
you're not beating the Dodgers.
You're coming back and doing the thing. Mizorowski and Kyle Harrison give me at least the ability 1 and 2 to win a couple games. Like if those are your number one and number two starter in a playoff series, and they continue along this path, they could be 2-0 against
That's
the Dodgers
optimism.
Team.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is optimism.
Feels like it. Yeah, it feels okay to be
optimistic. I mean,
last year
you were so happy with the one series being won.
Yes. Yeah, that was my World Series.
Yeah.
But now I want a World Series.
No, I want another.
I want an actual World
always
Series
want something
here.
More.
We're so close.
Never content.
You know?
Got it.
We could make that happen. Well, and also, or if they're going to sit down there in the minors for more than, use them as a trade chip to put a premier somebody on that roster.
Sure.
They're one guy away. They're that proverbial one guy away, you know? Like, well, that's what Minnesota did, right? Like, they traded 4 first-round picks for Rudy Gobert because they were
that's basketball. That's different.
It is a little different, but in every sport has that ability to make that trade. You remember, I mean, a long time ago, the Vikings tried to make...
Don't.
It worked out great for the Cowboys.
You got a minute and a half left, or 2 minutes left.
Really? What else do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about Herschel Walker.
I sure bet you don't. Random things. The NBA is going to be voting on an anti-tanking measure. It's going to take me longer than a minute and a half to explain any of that.
Yeah.
Basically, it's become too easy in the NBA to be really bad. And the reward for being really bad in the NBA is
high percentage lottery pick.
Very much a high percentage of getting a top 3 to 5 pick. And in the NBA, that's the biggest difference maker is getting a top 3 pick.
Sure.
It's made teams like Oklahoma City and the Spurs get right there.
Right.
It's messing up the NBA's competitive balance, we'll say.
It's just a bad look.
It's a bad look when half of the league doesn't actively want to win games.
Yeah.
It makes it tough for the fans.
It's one of those where you can't hide it.
And you want to, because as a fan, it benefits your team somehow to watch them lose 26 of 28 games down the stretch.
Yeah.
They're trying to figure out a better way, a better path forward. So like basically, if you're one of the worst 4 to 10 teams, you have a better chance than you do if you're the worst team. And they want to make sure that you can't do it.
Year after year,
like the Spurs have done, like Oklahoma City is. Yep. So they're working that system out.
Okay.
There was a bunch of athletes over the last couple of years that have got their house burglarized. Joe Burrow.
25 seconds.
They finally arrested that ring of people.
Yeah.
In Chile, in Argentina. They were coming and listening on social media how to find these guys' houses when they were gone on road trips.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars was taken. These guys all got arrested.
Okay.
That's it for everything. Everyone, have a great weekend. Let's do this again soon. Bye.